I invite you to turn to Mark chapter 16. I think when we started in Mark, I had some hair on the top of my head. We've been in it a while. Mark 16, verses 9 through 14. We will also read from two other places after this. Mark 16, 9 through 14. Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene. Now when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him, as they mourned and wept. But when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they would not believe it. After these things, he appeared in another form to two of them as they were walking into the country. Of course, that's recorded extensively in Luke 24, which we'll see later. As they were walking into the country, and they went back and told the rest, but they did not believe them. Afterwards, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at table, and he rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen. John chapter 20. John 20, 19 through 21. Jesus appears to the disciples. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." The next chapter, John 21, the first two verses. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he revealed himself in this way. And then Acts chapter 1, verse 3. To them he presented himself alive after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. Let's pray again. Father, again, we come to this time to open your word and to speak of it and to hear it. And we confess we're utterly inadequate to speak in a way that will help anyone. We are inadequate and insufficient in ourselves to stay focused, to not be distracted, and to hear with faith. So we ask right now for the ministry of your Spirit to attend both myself and them today who hear me, whether in this room or Lord, as they might be watching and listening from other places, we ask for your presence, Lord. We ask for your Spirit to take the things of Christ, to show them to us, and to do what no man can do, to apply them to our hearts, and to speak to us within, and reveal your Son to us through your Word, by your Spirit, for his glory and for our good, we pray. Amen. Jesus appears. The post-resurrection appearances of Jesus Christ after his resurrection. He was betrayed. He was arrested. Jesus was tried illegally and convicted. He was beaten and flogged. He was mocked. And then he was led out to the hill called Calvary, Golgotha, bearing his cross. There he was crucified, and he's dead. Jesus then, 3 days later, is risen. He's raised from the dead. And now we come to the reality that Jesus is appearing to people. That's the events of the Passion Week, those days. All of it was atoning work. All of it was for sinners. All of it was for you and me. Here, all the Gospels and the book of Acts form a summarized unit conveying one testimony. Jesus was seen alive by almost 550 people. Quite a group. Quite a number of people. Now, during the 40 days after his resurrection, where was Jesus? Contrary to some people thinking, he was not on the earth every day, day and night, for 40 days. He was now, after the resurrection, the heavenly man in paradise. He had said to the thief on the cross, "This day you will be with me in paradise." After Jesus died, and his Spirit and the Divine Son was in paradise with the Father. His earthly body, his human corpse, was dead in the grave. And when he came back to life, his Spirit, his divine nature, was joined to his human body again, and he's alive. And what does he begin to do? Over 40 days, he begins to make many appearances to people. Surprised, unannounced visits and appearances where he just shows up, walks into a room where the door's locked, walks through the walls, pops in. I don't know if he walked through the walls. He pops in, and suddenly, a moment he's not there, the next moment he's right before them. The Gospels say about that, he came and stood among them. Resurrection, post-resurrection appearances, surprise appearances. John 20 talks about when the disciples were behind those closed doors, suddenly he's there. The door didn't open. He didn't knock on it. He just shows up. How many post-resurrection appearances are there? We need to view this right. We need to think rightly about it to understand our Lord in his death, burial, and resurrection, and finally his ascension. Because you see, things don't end with the resurrection. He's going to ascend soon, and he's going to be in session. The court's in session in heaven. The king is reigning. He's enthroned there. The king's in session. So, prior to his ascension and his session, his reigning in heaven, he appears. How many were there? At least 14 times are mentioned in the Bible, in the New Testament, in the Gospels, in the book of Acts, in Galatians, and even in 1 Corinthians. Different days, different times, unannounced appearances. Let me quickly mention them so we can just have them in our mind. First, he appeared to Mary Magdalene. Second, to some women who were returning from his tomb. Third, to Peter. Fourth, to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, detailed in Luke 24. Fifth time, he appeared to 10 apostles in the upper room. Sixth, to 11 in another place. The seventh appearance was to seven disciples, including Peter and John, who were fishing on the Sea of Tiberias. His eighth appearance was again later to all 11. The ninth appearance is mentioned in 1 Corinthians 15, where Paul says he appeared to over 500 people at one time. The 10th appearance was to James. The 11th to the 11 apostles on the Mount of Olives. The 12th to Stephen after the ascension. He appears to Stephen in Acts chapter 7. The 13th appearance to Paul on the Damascus Road, Acts chapter 9. And again, that's mentioned in Acts chapter 26. And the 14th and last, to John on the Isle of Patmos. 14 post-resurrection appearances. But guess what? That's not the last one. There's one to come. Paul says to the Thessalonians about this same Jesus when he is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who know not God and do not obey the gospel. Christ will be revealed on that day when he comes to be glorified in his saints and marveled at by all. If you're not a Christian and you die in your sins, you have this to look forward to, though you don't want to look forward to it, that the Lord Jesus Christ, when you see him, and if you're alive when he comes, all he will have for you will be judgment. And all unbelievers across the globe, when he appears in heaven, he will appear in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Quite an amazing reality. So Jesus has all these appearances. That's what he was doing from the resurrection until his ascension 40 days later. Why? Why all the appearances? What was he accomplishing? What was his purpose? Why was he doing this? What did his appearances accomplish? Really, it seems like that his appearances accomplished three things. Number one, his appearances affirmed that he was and is alive. Number two, they were didactic. That is, they were tutorials. He was teaching all the disciples and confirming truth to them. And thirdly, his appearances, his appearing to people, is a part of true salvation. I would venture to say right here, if the Lord Jesus Christ has never revealed himself to you, you're not a Christian at all. And if he has ever revealed himself to you, you are a true Christian. Now, you know I'm not talking about a physical appearance. He could do that if he wants to anybody. Church history has recorded that people have had visions of the Lord. They have seen manifestations. I'm not talking about you having to see something physical or experience something or have a vision. But I'm talking about the real experienced manifestation of Jesus Christ to you personally, without which there is no salvation. Number one, his appearance is affirmed that Christianity is absolutely true. When he began to appear suddenly, all those who had believed in him and had truly followed him, as he began to appear to them, suddenly they knew one thing. You're alive. He's alive. They ran and told other believers, and they wouldn't believe them when they told them more than once. His appearances confirmed that everything was true and absolutely real. His appearances confirmed the reality of his person. It confirmed his teaching, his miracles, his movement of people truly still following him was authentic. His appearances confirmed that his purposes were real and genuine. It proved the resurrection to be absolutely a certainty. As Romans 1:4 says, he was declared to be the Son of God with power by his resurrection from the dead. The power of God in raising up our Lord Jesus Christ proved, documented, and affirmed he is who he claimed to be. And when he shows up, end of argument. There's no discussion. If a man claims to be God, and he claims to be the Messiah and the Savior, and there have been many down through the centuries in various places, various times, and there are those today. There's a man in India who claims to be the Messiah. David Koresh in Waco 20 plus years ago finally brought his group at the Branch Davidian compound to believe, I'm your Savior, I'm the Messiah. And it ended in a ball of fire, and they all perished together. Many have claimed to be the Messiah down through the centuries. But if a man claims to be God and claims to be Messiah, and then eternal life is only found in him, and he says things like, I am the bread of life. Or he says, if you drink of the water that I give you, it's living water. And whoever drinks of the water that I give, they will never die. Or if he says, I can forgive sins. If such a man makes all those claims and he dies and remains dead, guess what? Imposter, liar, fake, false prophet, false teacher. But if he comes back to life and appears to many people over 40 days and is then physically seen ascending into heaven, then that affirms that it's all true. Every bit of it was true. His appearances affirmed that he's alive forever. And the early church never got over it, and well, they shouldn't have. And the Jerusalem and Israel and the Jewish leaders never had an answer for it. In fact, the Bible says many of their priests became obedient to the faith. His appearances affirmed that he was true. Secondly, his appearances were meant to teach. We're going to get into some passages here. They were meant to be didactic, to be tutorials. They were meant to teach and encourage and establish his believers and the disciples in future hope for future ministry. His appearances were meant purposely to teach and encourage and equip his followers for future ministry. Now remember, turn back to Luke 24, for instance, and we'll see that. He appeared to these two men on the road to Emmaus. And what did he do? Well, he finally made himself known to them. He appeared in a different form. They did not recognize him. They did not know who he was. Verse 13. They were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. He is appearing to them. He draws near and he's there with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. He was in a different form. We don't know what kind of form. He looked like a Jewish man in his journey and was a stranger to them. And what does he do? This whole passage, he begins to dialogue with them and discuss with them. And he said to them in verse 17, "What is this conversation you're holding with each other as you walk?" They still stood still looking sad. Then one of them, Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know these things that have happened?" Guess what? He was the only one who really knew everything about what had happened. They were still clueless. So he draws near, and what's he going to do? He's going to begin to teach them. What does he do? He takes, beginning with Moses and the prophets, and as they walk, he expounds all things in the Old Testament scriptures to them concerning himself. This has to be, in my opinion, the greatest sermon ever preached. Greater than the Sermon on the Mount. Greater than anything Paul ever preached. And these two, it was preached to two people, two. Despise not the day of small things, the Bible says. Two guys got the privilege of hearing this exposition about Messiah through the whole Old Testament by none other than the Messiah. How about that? Ethan would have loved that. You would have loved it. What's happening? It's didactic. This is a tutorial. He's teaching. The Bible says here in Luke 24, he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. That's what these appearances was for. He was teaching them. Don't turn there, but same thing in John 21. He comes to the disciples. He appears to them in John 21. And they're fishing. And they look on the shore and they say, "It's the Lord." And they take off for the land. And the Lord's cooking some fish. They have breakfast together. What does he do? He begins to talk to them and he restores loving fellowship and relationship with all of them. And then one-on-one, he restores Peter. His appearances were doing that. Teaching. Opening their minds to understand what's happened. To understand, to shed light on 3 years of mysteries of the kingdom and the things they didn't get and it didn't register when he said it. And there had to be many aha moments when he was teaching them. The light was coming on. They understood. In fact, it says that in one of the Gospels. I think it's Luke, perhaps. It says, "Then they understood after he rose from the dead what he had told them." It finally registered with him. Now think of Acts 1:3. We read that. Think of what it says. Just listen to this. "He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs." There are many proofs he gave them that aren't, there are ones that aren't even recorded in the Gospels and Acts. Many proofs, it says. Appearing to them during the 40 days, and catch this, and he was speaking to them about the kingdom of God. For 40 days, when he would appear, he was speaking to them about the kingdom of God. He was teaching them during these appearances. His teaching them affirmed all that was true about what he had said and done. It encouraged them. It restored them. It renewed their minds. He brought them up to snuff. Is that a term you can use? He brought them onto the same page with Him, where they saw, finally, now we understand. The Messiah was supposed to suffer. Now Isaiah 53 makes sense. He was supposed to suffer and die and rise again, and look, He's here. Why didn't we get it? Oh, how slow of heart we were to believe. And He rebuked them. Part of His teaching was to rebuke them for their slowness, for their unbelief, and their hardness of heart. Don't you try to tell me about me or yourself that we don't ever have some of that. Slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have said, all that the Bible says. As Luke 24:45 says, and this is for us today, then He opened their minds to understand the Scriptures. So, my point is, His appearances were teaching moments for their equipping, their encouragement, and their hope for the future. So His appearances, first of all, confirmed it was all true. Secondly, His appearances were for teaching them and encouraging them. Thirdly, His appearing to individuals. He only had one appearance to a group of 500. We don't know what the setting was. We don't know if He spoke to them. But there's only one time He appears to a group. All other 13 times are to individuals. His appearing to individuals, His revealing Himself to His own, is a part of true salvation. Has this happened to you? This appearing of Christ to people, personally, spiritually, drawing near, revealing Himself, is essential Christian conversion experience. No one is a true Christian that Christ has not drawn near to make Himself known truly to them. I have heard recently several people in different settings and different places talk to me about, well, my sister finally went to church for the first time, and the next week she was baptized. How many people is that their experience? But Christ probably isn't even a reality to them. Has He, as answer this question in your own heart, has He personally, the living Savior, the living Christ, has He ever manifested Himself to you and become personally real? I remember as a 19-year-old, the last Saturday of July, 1973, Christ had forever been a stranger to me. I had grown up in church. I believed intellectually the Bible was true. I believed in God. I believed Jesus was a Savior. But He had never drawn near to me and revealed Himself to me. And with my friend, that night in my friend's car, suddenly the presence of Jesus Christ filled the car. I was overwhelmed with knowing that He was real. He manifested Himself to me. I didn't see anything. But suddenly Christ was real, and I wanted Him, and I cried out to Him. Is this your experience? It's true Christian experience. Far too long has 20th century and 21st century Christianity in America made this just an intellectual thing. Do you believe these facts? Yeah. Will you pray this prayer? Yeah. Boom, you're a Christian. Absolutely not. There has to be a manifestation of Christ to your soul where one day He's never been real to you and suddenly the Son of God is the greatest reality to you. and you come to know Him. He appears to all and to everyone that He saves. In true salvation, there is a peculiar, and by that I don't mean weird or strange, I mean unique and special manifestation of Christ to every believer of Himself. He imparts Himself to the believing soul. Turn to Galatians 1. I want you to see this. Galatians 1 has an amazing thought that we often overlook. Galatians 1, verses 15 and 16. Paul is talking about his conversion. In verse 15, he begins to speak of this, but he says, "But when he who had set me apart before I was born, and who called me by his grace, was pleased to," what? "Reveal his Son in me." It can be to me. Paul said there was a revelation of the living Christ personally to him, and then in him, where Christ came to him and was manifested to him. And then the soul was joined to him and was united with the living Christ. This is conversion. You can slice the pie however you want. Regeneration, justification, repentance, faith. Christ must be made real to your soul. Where you don't know Him, and then suddenly you're confronted with His living presence. It's more than a notion. It's more than theory. It's more than doctrine. Christ has revealed Himself to your heart, and you're joined to Him. He must appear to you. And if you're not a Christian today, do not sit back on your couch this afternoon or night and say, "Okay, sirrah, sirrah, I'll just wait on God to reveal Himself to me." You'll go to hell that way. You better get to crying out for Him to reveal Himself to you. "Jesus, Son of Mercy, Son of David, have mercy on me." That's how you get Him to appear to you. You seek Him. You cry out. You want Him. And He must manifest Himself to your heart. Has He done that for you? I want you to look in John 14. John's Gospel, chapter 14. Jesus told this to the disciples, that this was going to be a part of it. John 14, verse 21. Quite amazing. "Whoever," John 14, 21, "whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." Christ, not just dead and raised and appearing, Christ manifested. He manifests Himself to you. And when He does, you suddenly experience for the first time that He's real. And He's a living person. And He interacts with you. And He talks to you, and He draws you. And He's real to you. And you want Him, you desire Him, and you embrace Him as He's offered in the gospel, manifested to you. He appeared not to Pilate, but to Peter. Think of it. He appeared not to Herod, but to the disciples. He showed Himself to His disciples, and not to His enemies, and not to the world. Think of it. He could have walked in Herod or Pilate's bedroom and tapped him on the shoulder and woke him up and said, "Hello, remember me? I'm back." He didn't appear to any of those guys. Think of this reality expressed in 1 John. 1 John 2, 3 and 5 says, "By this we have come to know that we have come to know him. It says, by this we have come to know that we have come to know him. In him truly the love of God is perfected, and by this we are sure that we are in him. 1 John 3:24, whoever keeps his commandments abides in him and he in them. Christ, when he's manifested to a person, is joined to them, and you are in him and he is in you by his Spirit. Whoever keeps his commandment abides in him and he in them, and by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit he has given us. Chapter 4, verse 13, by this we know that we abide in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. How does Christ manifest himself to someone? By the Holy Spirit. Bodily, the second person of the Trinity is in heaven today. The God-man is enthroned in heaven. He's physically there. But he said, I will come to you. I will send my Spirit. I will send the Comforter, even the Spirit of Truth, and we will come to you. Has the Holy Spirit ever manifested himself to you with reality? I'm not talking about great power or great certain degrees, but has the Spirit of God drawn near to you where you were aware of the presence of God and you were gripped and Christ was real suddenly and you desired him and you were joined to him? Christ manifested. He appears to and manifests himself to every believing convert and lives in them, takes up residence in them. Christ in you, the hope of glory. His resurrection appearances were vitally essential to the whole reality of redemption and salvation. His appearances, first of all, prove that all of Christianity is true. Secondly, they taught his disciples and they teach his children, encouraging and equipping them, giving them hope for the future. And he appears, finally, he appears to and manifests himself to every believer who ever comes to know him. Is that true of you? It's not only a matter, have you ever come to Jesus? The question this morning is, has he ever come to you? If he has, it was savingly, and you know it. And if he hasn't, he's yet a stranger to you. Though you may have a lot of knowledge, you don't yet know him. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that this is a great reality, that you appeared and you yet do appear. Teach us of yourself. Lord, I just think how Paul, there in Corinth, the Bible says that the Lord one night stood by him. You appeared to him, even after he was a Christian, to strengthen him, to tell him, fear not, I have many people in this city. Lord, in the right way, in the biblical sense, would you appear to us more and more? Let us know the manifestations of your love and your presence. That we would be strengthened and filled with joy and filled with faith and filled with the Holy Spirit. Lord, blessed be your name this day. Thank you for giving us understanding of the post-resurrection appearances of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Bless the truth to our hearts. and our minds. We ask you to open our minds and give us understanding. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.